én koferidem, és ne zaj. Ne partij samo stam, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol se vrata, pa treba, ne. In jaz prijem tam, pa prema vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dol zagledam, zagledam Madonna in ošla.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in tudi siv. Siv, ne ta nemški očaj, črni pa to ne. Prav tista prava volka. Krasno.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiju Študent.
Korporativno-olimpijske igrice. Potem, ko je zimska olimpijada v Kanadi po dveh tednih raznih herojskih športnih podvigov in solzavih zgodb končana, je morda le napočil čas, ko si lahko pozornost izborijo tudi teme, ki so bile strani množičnih medijev in javnosti v tem obdobju popolnoma zapostavljene. Govorimo o očitkih, ki so predvsem v Kanadi strani različnih segmentov družbe leteli na organizacijo iger in o posledicah, ki jih tak športni spektakel neizogibno povzroči. Pa je olimpijada v svojem bistvu še športni spektakel? Eden glavnih očitkov nasprotnikov leti predvsem na vpletenost velikega kapitala utelešenega v pokroviteljih organizacije iger. Tako naj bi olimpijske igre postale le še eden izmed mnogih dogodkov, primernih za finančno izkoriščanje, maksimiziranje dobička in izboljševanje korporativnega imidža. Dogodek, kot je olimpijada, zahteva velika infrastrukturna vlaganja in posege v okolje. Nasprotniki takšne izvedbe olimpijade v Kanadi so opozarjali, da bo tokratna edicija iger ena najbolj ekološko uničevalnih do sedaj. Posekanih je bilo na tisoče dreves, razstreljevane so bile gore, širila se je tako imenovana Sea to Sky avtocesta. Protestniki so opozarjali še na družbene posledice. Problem brezdomstva v Vancouvru so oblasti reševale tako, da so tja poslale veliko število dodatnih policistov, ki so brezdomce enostavno izgnali z cest, da ti ne bi motili olimpijskega vzdušja. Močna policijska prisotnost in vse splošno nadzorovanje sta tako upravičila slogan Policijska država. O igrah in razlogih za nasprotovanje smo govorili s Scottom Harrisom, predstavnikom grassroots organizacije Council of Canadians, ki je ena od mnogih, ki je opozarjala na te težave. Za začetek Harris povzame njihove pomisleke, pogovor pa nadaljujemo z mnenjem o okolju in družbenih posledicah.
Well, I mean, the Council of Canadians first off, you know, recognizes that the Olympic ideal of competition and friendly competition between nations and between athletes is a great thing. So we don't actually oppose the sports itself. What we're concerned with is the impacts of the Olympics, specifically in Vancouver and British Columbia, but also across Canada, and the increasing corporatization of the games. You see that companies have begun to use the good feelings that Canadians and people all over the world have about the games in order to greenwash or to sort of hide some of their own activities. Of course, we have real concerns around the impacts on First Nations. British Columbia is largely unceded First Nations territory, meaning that the Canadian government doesn't actually have title to the land. So one of the big calls that have happened throughout these Olympics are no Olympics on stolen native land, and that's been a really consistent message. We're really concerned with the environmental impact, both in terms of creating venues and ski resort development and expansion of roads, and the massive carbon footprint of bringing all these people and all the construction to host these games, as well as, again, the greenwashing from a number of the really high-profile sponsors of the games, including Petro-Canada, which has 6 tar sands operations in northern Alberta, the Royal Bank of Canada, which is the largest bank funder of the tar sands, Coke, which depletes aquifers, you know, all over the world. Dow, which is still refusing to pay restitution for the Bhopal disaster in India. TransCanada Pipelines, which is moving tar sands oil all over the continental United States. General Electric, which is a major arms manufacturer. So really concerned about all those impacts. Concerns around public debt coming from the games. The security apparatus that has sprung up around these games. So there's a whole host of really negative impacts that takes away from the ideal of the Olympics.
We could break these impacts into three groups. For example, environment, then direct social consequences, and the fiscal accountability or the direct financial consequences of the games. If we start with, for example, the environment, what problems do you see regarding the subject of environment?
Sure. Well, I mean, going into the environment, going into the Olympics, there was a claim that these were going to be the greenest games ever. And like so many of the promises of the Olympics, a lot of these claims have really shown to be false. The games will have a massive ecological impact and have had a massive ecological impact already. Tens of thousands of trees were cut down and mountainsides were blasted for venue creation in the Callahan Valley near Whistler to expand the sea-to-sky highway that goes from Vancouver to Whistler, which is where a lot of the Nordic events were held. It's estimated that the carbon footprint of the games is at about 110,000 tons of carbon directly, with another 190,000 tons of indirect emissions. So this is a huge, huge impact. Like all the concrete involved in creating the venues required the mining of gravel, which has an impact on streams that support salmon in British Columbia. And going more wide than that, again, the role that corporate sponsors play in the Olympics and really high-profile corporate sponsors greenwashing their activities, which have a massive impact. I mean, there are corporations that are heavily involved in the Alberta tar sands, which is one of the largest industrial projects in the history of mankind, happening in northern Alberta, and they are, using the games as a way to promote themselves as environmentally friendly, despite the fact that their activities are profoundly harmful to both the climate in the form of greenhouse gas emissions, but also impacts on water and on land in the direct area of their operations.
That, of course, is a big problem, but there, as I mentioned, other problems that arise from the organization of such an event, which is a huge event, of course. For example, social consequences. If we talk about the so-called security zone and the police and army presence in the area, what effects does this provoke?
Yeah, well, I mean, the direct social impacts in Vancouver have been quite profound. Obviously, the Olympics comes with it a real estate and development boom. So Vancouver has seen homelessness go from 600 prior to the Games to estimated at over 3,000 today. So it's really exacerbated a homelessness crisis that was already significant and made it much, much worse. We've seen a massive spending on the security apparatus. The estimates at the beginning were that the cost of security was going to be $175 million. It's now ballooned to the point where most commentators are saying it will cost well over $1 billion. Over 15,000 police, RCMP officers, private security are in Vancouver. And a number of laws that were quite disconcerting from a civil liberties perspective, including one called the Safe Streets Act, which sort of compels homeless people to go to shelters even though they're overwhelmed, laws around signage protesting the Olympics within the venue, no-go areas. So it's had a real impact on civil liberties, and there's been a lot of people who are concerned about that.
I've heard the term being used regarding the eviction of the homeless people from the streets. The term is social cleansing. Do you agree with that?
I mean, it's a term that some people have used. I mean, it's undeniable that it has had a huge impact on exacerbating the homeless problem. And there's also the fact that when you spend, that it's now estimated that the games will cost the public purse about $6.5 billion, and that number will likely rise. So that's money that could have been spent on things like easing the homelessness crisis, improving access to shelters, dealing with some of the drug use problems in the downtown east side, which is the poorest postal code in Canada, which exists just blocks from a Olympic venues. We've already seen that the claims of the positive economic impacts on Vancouver, which initially were claimed at about $10 billion, are now estimated to be less than one-tenth of that, so less than $1 billion. The city of Vancouver had to bail out the Olympic Village, which was $100 million over budget. And the real impacts of these games will be felt, or begun to be felt, on March 2nd when the provincial government releases its budget. They have already announced cuts to education, cuts to arts and culture funding, cuts to surgeries. So there are also fears that there will be many more deep cuts to social spending in the budget when it's released next week. And that's a direct impact of this massive amount of money that has been spent on the Olympics that really could have gone to addressing some of these more pressing social concerns.
Kot smo slišali, so se prireditelji iger v Kanadi hvalili, da bodo igre stale $1 milijardo, prinesle pa naj bi jih 10. Kot je običaj pri takšnih napovedih, se je zgodilo ravno obratno. Strošek se sedaj ocenjuje na 6 milijard, prihodki pa na manj kot $1 milijardo. Kakšne bodo resnične finančne posledice za celo Kanado, se bo videlo šele čez leta. Izkazalo se je torej, da ima javni sektor z igrami same stroške. Največ koristi od olimpijade pa ima kot običajno privatni sektor. Kako se recimo koristi manifestirajo za prebivalce mest gostiteljev in kakšne so negativne finančne posledice za ljudi?
Yeah, absolutely. I think big spectacles like the Olympic Games have definite impacts for some people. They help people who are involved in real estate speculation. They are a great boom for developers. They are very good for pubs and restaurants in the area. But they have a lot of negative impacts and a lot of the promises, like I say, of what the economic spin-offs will be and what the economic benefits of the Olympic Games will be have been massively overstated. I don't know, when I was in Vancouver, you get this sentiment from people just talking to people on the street, like, taking taxi rides, the taxi drivers would all say what a massive negative impact the games have had on their ability to make a living because of the cancellation of conventions that would normally come, because General Motors is a corporate sponsor, so they gave the organizing committee a number of SUVs to ferry around people to and from the airport. So, the people in Vancouver outside of a couple of small sectors have really not seen the economic benefits of these games. It was revealed last week that, for instance, the Canada Place Pavilion tent, which is the showcase of Canada, was outsourced to a U.S. company, and the tent itself was built in Germany. So, again, you see the connections there between the globalized world that the corporate sector has been pushing and the erosion of the capacity for direct economic impacts within Vancouver or within British Columbia or even within Canada as things are outsourced overseas. So a lot of those claims, like I say, they estimated $10 billion in direct impact, and it's now thought to be less than one-tenth of that. And even of that one-tenth, it is concentrated in a few sectors.
You've mentioned the negative sentiment towards the Olympics among the population of Vancouver. Is that the sentiment of the majority or just the critique part? Of the people.
The closest I could point to, there was a poll released just before the game started that showed that only 50% of residents in BC thought the Olympics would have a positive impact. 69% that said that too much money was being spent on the games. So the people in British Columbia have far less support for the games than the rest of Canada. Before the game started, 40% of British Columbia residents said that they supported the aims of the anti-Olympic protesters. So there was, people in Vancouver saw the negative impacts and looked at the negative impacts in the budgets and looked at the negative impacts in their cities and obviously didn't like what they saw.
The Olympics are supposed to be all about the Olympic spirit, the so-called Olympic spirit. How much do you think is the idea of this Olympic spirit intertwined with the interests of the big capital? I mean, can you imagine the Olympic Games being held without the support of the big capital?
I think that what the Olympic Games has become, which is this massive spectacle that is tied to ad revenues and tied to advertising and tied to television viewers and all that. I mean, I think that we've moved so far from the ideal of, amateur athletes competing in a field of friendly competition, that it's become so big and it's become such a spectacle, it is hard to imagine without either massive public support, which I don't think there's support for, or corporate sponsorship. So I think that the increasing role of corporations in sponsoring the games is sort of a feedback loop where, because they have become so big, there are more corporate sponsors who are trying to use those very good values that people love about the Olympics as a way of branding themselves, and they're willing to put massive amounts of money into it in order to connect themselves to that. So, even though they're not actually embodying those values in their corporate practices, I think it's a really hypocritical stance for the Olympics to involve themselves with arms dealers when the Olympic Games are supposed to be about goodwill and peace between nations and friendly competition. So I think the increased involvement of corporations has really, really sullied what the Olympics is supposed to be all about.
Najpomembnejšo vlogo pri vsem tem ima Mednarodni olimpijski komite. Oznako olimpijski podeljuje vse večjemu številu športov. Morda zato, da bi tako razširil krog potencialnih gledalcev tudi na mlajši ali bolj apatični del populacije za voljo večje dobičkonosnosti pri prodaji prenosov?
The International Olympic Committee is accepting more and more sports into the and branding them Olympic sports in order to attract wider range of population, for example, younger population. Of course, that basically results then in more contracts for television broadcasts and things. Do you think that the International Olympic Committee is playing a wrong role here, maybe a dirty role?
I think that what the International Olympic Committee, because of the increasing role of corporations and the increasing role of broadcasters in the Olympics, is their primary concern now is maximizing viewers and maximizing ad revenues, because that is what the Olympics has become about. The Olympics is about money, and money for sponsors and money for developers. So I think it's natural that you're moving further and further away from the ideals of the Olympics as money pervades it more and more. So of course they want to maximize profit. The corporations involved have to maximize profit, and they're not doing this because they love the Olympics or they love competition. They're doing this to increase their profits. So I think those two things can't be separated, and as they get more and more entwined, you see that the IOC, the IOC has had all kinds of problems with corruption related to bids. It's all part of the fact that this has become a massive corporate spectacle.
They actually do love competition, but a market competition rather than a sports competition.
True enough, yeah.
I've seen in Slovenia there are billboards posted during the Olympics for billboards for McDonald's. And on the billboard there is a man who is holding a hamburger where athletes hold their medals. And it's basically the same color, like bronze or gold. It seems strange that McDonald's would try to impose itself as a brand that promotes healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, right? The corporations that are sponsoring have practically nothing to do with games. And in the cases of things like Coke and McDonald's, which are contributors to the obesity crisis, are trying to connect themselves and trying to not hide what they're doing, but just give people that connection between McDonald's and health, which is obviously a total joke. I don't imagine that any of the athletes competing in the Olympics had a single McDonald's meal in the lead up to their events, for obvious reasons. It's just not healthy food.
Olimpijske igre so razgalile tudi odnos kanadskih oblasti do prvotnih prebivalcev tistih krajev, tako imenovanih First Nations. Igre se odvijajo na zemlji, ki ni bila nikoli del sporazuma med avtohtonimi ljudstvi in evropskimi prišleki, kot je primer nekaterih drugih območij v Kanadi, kakorkoli so ti sporazumi že krivični. Harry se je razgovoril tudi na to temo.
First off, in the country, it's hard to talk about First Nations as a cohesive group. There are, you know, a multitude of First Nations bands who exist across the country, and their conditions and their perspectives and all that are quite different, just as the population of Canada at large is completely different. So, I mean, Canada has a long colonial history. You know, Canada was founded on native land, often through force. Of the native population, we have a really a terrifying history of treatment of First Nations people. We had a whole residential school system where you know, young First Nations youth were taken out of their communities and forced into church-run schools, which is really a black mark on our national history. As I said, British Columbia itself, unlike my province, which is Alberta, which has a whole series of treaties that were negotiated between First Nations and the government, British Columbia is unceded territory, so the government actually has no title over the land of British Columbia in much of the areas. And First Nations people live far below the standards of Canadians at large. You know, we have a reservation system where many First Nations peoples live. You know, others live off reservation in cities and in other communities. But the reservations that First Nations live on are really below the standard. In some cases, approaching sort of developing world standards. There are boil water advisories in hundreds of those communities because they don't have the infrastructure. Poverty rates are very, very high. The level of engagement between First Nations groups and the Canadian government on things like resource development is quite horrible. You see in northern Alberta where the tar sands are, the communities that are being most directly impacted downstream from tar sands developments are First Nations groups. So really Canada's treatment of First Nations and our lack of recognizing them as sovereign nations is really a national embarrassment.
Can we view the Olympics as a tool for legitimizing neocolonialism in Canada?
I think to some extent. I think if you look at, you know, Canada is a settler country. It's on First Nations land, and like I say, we have done a very poor job of treating our First Nations with respect. It's part of the Canadian state, which is very tied to colonialism. So I don't think you can separate that reality from anything the government does.
Če je jasno, zakaj je kapital zainteresiran za redno izvedbo olimpijskih iger, pa se postavlja vprašanje, kako to, da negativnih učinkov ne upoštevajo države, ki kandidirajo za izvedbo iger.
So, if we know all these negative impacts of the Olympic Games that I think a lot of people cannot shut their eyes in front of, because we know what happened in Greece and in, for example, now in Canada. For all those reasons, it's pretty clear that the Olympic Games have, beside the positive impact, a lot of negative impacts. And so why are countries so much in favor of these games? Why are so many countries running for candidacy? It's normal that the sponsors are in favor of the games because they're using it to maximize profits. But why do countries, which of course are aware of the negative impacts, why do they run for candidates?
It's a really good question, and to be honest, I've struggled with that myself and tried to figure out why. I mean, one reason is just obvious. There is a tremendous amount of money to be made from the Olympics if you are in certain sectors. And those sectors that benefit obviously, have lobby groups and, have connections to the government. So, people benefit. And obviously, if you're a corporation, like a development corporation or a real estate corporation, you want to see the Olympics because of what it will do to your bottom line. I think to some extent, because, people do really value what the Olympics is about, the Olympic spirit at its core, that for politicians domestically, there can be, you know, a bit of a boost, right? So our own Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, who before the Olympics prorogued our parliament, so sort of canceled the parliamentary session, has seen a boost in his popularity, in his government's approval rating since the Olympics started. So I think there's a bit of a political angle to it. And I think, honestly, that you know, local politicians and provincial politicians sometimes see this as, you know, a way of putting themselves or putting their city on the world map, whatever that means. And even though there's not real benefits, it, you know, it's sort of highlighting the world-class nature of Vancouver or the world-class nature of British Columbia. So I think that's another part of it. But again, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure why countries, given all the negative impacts and given how few positive impacts there are for the population at large, continue to host the games.
Nasprotovanje igram in hinavščini povezani z njimi so bile združene raznorazne civilno-družbene skupine. Akcije proti igram so se odvijale več kot leto dni. Na otvoritveni dan je protestiralo več kot 3000 ljudi, protesti uperjeni proti korporativnim sponzorjem so bili tudi delno nasilni. V južnem predelu Vancouvra je postavljeno šotorsko naselje, da se izpostavi problem brezdomstva in podobno. Zgodba zase je ideja olimpijskega premirja. Čeprav naj bi bila ta ideja v stari Grčiji živa in spoštovana, v kar sicer dvomimo, pa je danes to le še ena od idej, ki je strani tako javnosti kot inštitucij hkrati opevana in zasmehovana. Pomenljivo je dejstvo, da so se tokratne olimpijske igre začele na predvečer največje ofenzive proti talibom v Afganistanu, imenovane operacija Moštarak oziroma Skupaj. Generalna skupščina Združenih narodov je oktobra leta 1993 pozvala članice OZN-a, naj spoštujejo olimpijsko premirje 7 dni pred začetkom iger in 7 dni po zaključku. Na Ministrstvu za obrambo Republike Slovenije smo povprašali, ali je slovenska vojska v času trajanja olimpijade zamrznila svoja bojna delovanja, vendar so nam dejali, da slovenska vojska sploh ne sodeluje v bojnih operacijah v tujini. Poleg tega so dejali, da svojega sodelovanja v mednarodnih operacijah in misijah slovenska vojska ne more samovoljno ukiniti, niti za voljo mirne olimpijade. Poročanje medijev o izkoriščanju ideje olimpijskega duha in zdrave tekmovalnosti ter protestih proti temu je torej nadomestilo čaščenje naporov športnikov, štetje zlomljenih reber in prihodkov od prodaje oglasnega prostora. O posledicah pa bomo, kot vedno, več slišali šele čez leta, ko se bomo že ogrevali za naslednjo olimpijado. Zeitgeist o negativni plati olimpijskih iger v Kanadi je pripravil Boris.
Their primary concern now is maximizing viewers and maximizing ad revenues, because that is what the Olympics has become about. The Olympics is about money, and money for sponsors and money for developers. So I think it's natural that you're moving further and further away from the ideals of the Olympics.
Je olimpijski duh le še ena marketinška poteza? V nocojšnjem Zeitgeistu prisluhnite nekaterim pripombam in pomislekom glede upravičenosti in smiselnosti olimpijskih iger. Kakšne so posledice na okolje, družbo, finance? Ob 8 na 89,3. Pa brez navijanja, prosim.